Hey, we're back again. Mountain West Connection here for a special mid-season show. It's already mid-season, so it's kind of depressing a little bit there.
A little bit. Not as depressing as Fresno State season so far. Heyo.
Maybe you're happy it's halfway through.
Yeah.
We're already halfway through? Yes. Website here, mwcconnection.com. That's where you can find us. Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, SoundCloud, iTunes, all that fun stuff. Give us a listen. And we're doing our mid-season show because, like I said, we're heading into week 7. And so we're just going to screw around and give some mid-season awards.
I always love an excuse to mess around.
We're not going to go off topic, but we will mess around, I think. So
let's do it.
All right, so we did have a few questions, but I think we already have them all covered in our topic. So here's kind of what we're doing. Not kind of. Here's what we're doing. We're going through a couple categories. Maybe just talk about the season so far. I guess we'll start off something I'll throw at you right now that we didn't discuss right before, but since it's midseason, I think it's the appropriate time to do bowl rankings. I think if you do a week 1 or week 2 or week 3, you're pretty much, I think it's stupid.
Yeah, I mean, admittedly, like, I always enjoyed doing that, you know, bowl beat, seeing what people like Jerry Palm and Brett McMurphy.
Oh, geez, don't get me started on Jerry Palm tonight.
I saw you. Oh. So I would encourage everybody to go check that out because it's kind of bananas what he's come up with so far. You know, with these days, with all of my other commitments, I don't have the time to write much more than I do right now. But yeah, it's always kind of fun seeing how things shake out, how other people see the Mountain West shaking out.
Yeah, we're going to start doing that, or at least I started today. Because I think once you have a few conference games in the book, I can kind of accurately say who's going to be where. And so, like, preseason, great. Week 1, like, come on, really? I guess if you're doing a playoff projection, okay, but to do all 50 million bowls, it's kind of dumb. Here's where we're at really quick. We'll get to the midseason stuff, but bowling, like I said, good time to start midseason. Let's start with Jerry Palm here, who I said was drunk when he did these rankings, and I stand by that.
Okay.
Well, here's why. As we discussed last show, the Group of Five auto bid for the Big Money Bowl game, I know it's a mouthful, is no longer Houston's to win. Houston needs help if they're going to get there.
Yes.
While they might be, people may consider them the best team, because losing to Navy at Navy's not a bit, it's a respectable loss. But they can't, if they go 11-1, they're still going to be left out of the automatic bid. Now they could, like, there's these weird scenarios where, not weird, but they're still ranked top 15, I think, right now, 13 or 15. If they beat a good Louisville team, they might climb high enough to steal a bid because it goes by rankings. It doesn't matter where you're at. But in our case, to get this bid, there's no reason or no logical reason that Jerry Palm has them in the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm just saying, if you look at the way it has to get there, they need help, and they don't. And I just think it's dumb to put them there where they're not. You should either have Boise or Western Michigan in that position, I think.
So where does he have Boise in that case?
Oh, geez. Do you really want to know?
Is it Vegas?
No.
It's not.
No, it's not Vegas.
Is it the Poinsettia Bowl again?
It's not the Poinsettia Bowl again. Keep going. I'll let you guess until you get it, because you won't get it.
Oh, no. Is it the Hawaii Bowl?
Nope. Not even good old Honolulu.
Oh, really? Am I even, like, on the right? Is it a conference-affiliated bowl, or is it something
No, it's a conference-affiliated bowl.
Oh, don't tell me it's, like, New Mexico.
Ding, 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 ding.
Wow. That is some serious disrespect.
Boise State versus Middle Tennessee State in the very first bowl game of the season. He has San Diego State versus Washington State, which I would like. That would be a pretty good matchup, I think, in Vegas.
Okay. So what he's expecting San Diego State to win the conference then?
I'm assuming, but if that's the case, I know Boise went to the Poinsettia last year. I guess here's the way I can rationalize this a little bit. Boise was in Poinsettia Bowl last year. Assuming BYU goes bowling, they're locked into the Poinsettia, so that would be a rematch, which they'd like to avoid. And I'm assuming he doesn't want Boise to play on their home turf, which knocks out another bowl game. So then you're really down to the New Mexico Bowl, the Hawaii Bowl, or the Tucson Bowl. or Arizona Bowl, which is weird in this case because Jerry Palm does not have a Mountain West team in the Arizona Bowl game, but he seeks Colorado State to fill a Pac-12 spot in the Cactus Bowl.
I think that's because this year the Arizona Bowl, isn't it Sun Belt and Conference USA?
No, it's Mountain West and Conference USA, and then it'd be Mountain West Sun Belt. So I tell you, he's drunk on this. This makes no sense.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be the so here's just really quick. I just like going through these. Tell me what you think of this matchup, just based on the distance traveled. He does have Hawaii going bowling, which a couple people do, which I'm still kind of shocked by. But Hawaii versus isn't Old Dominion out in aren't they on the East Coast?
They are in Virginia. Yes, they are part of Conference USA.
Yeah, I know they are, but I forget how far east they are. But they would travel all the way to play Hawaii.
I'd watch that game. But then again, I'm a college football degenerate, so I'd watch just about any bowl game I could get my hands on. Actually,
and it's a Christmas Eve.
You know, Boise State fans may not like that matchup against Middle Tennessee, but I would watch that game too. That would be a fun game.
Middle Tennessee, they do have Tony Franklin as an OC from Cal, so they know they'd put up some points.
If you like
probably.
Points, that's why you'd watch that game.
That's true. Then he also has, real quick, Utah State, Cincinnati. Like, it's another bowl game that's not even a matchup. It's a Boca Raton Bowl, American versus USA. I don't know where he's getting these from. He has Nevada playing Toledo. It's like, come on, stick Toledo versus Boise at the Idaho Bowl.
I mean,
come
at
on.
That rate, you might as well just send him back to San Diego and go to the Pensidia Bowl against BYU.
I know. It's like, I don't know. It's just a weird – bowl games are weird. They do not have Wyoming, but you want to know what's even
what's
more
that?
Weird? Or one of the bowl projections, I think it's the ESPN guys. I should pull up my sheet here. It was Jason Kirk from SB Nation had Wyoming in the Royal Purple Las Vegas Bowl.
You did mention that, yes.
The Cowboys.
Against Stanford, right?
Yeah.
That would
two
be...
of the best backs on the West Coast?
Exactly.
I don't know. This is ridiculous. Jerry Palm's had me all in flux. He has Idaho going bowling, I think. I don't know. It's
anything is possible.
Apparently in his eyes, anything is possible. So should we just go to bowling or not bowling or save that towards the end?
We might as well just do that now.
Might as well. Let's just go out of order here. Okay. Here's what we know. Air Force is going bowling. Yes, right?
Yes.
Boise's going bowling. Is Boise going to a big money bowl game?
I had them going undefeated before the season, and I don't see any reason to, you know, doubt that now. Like, I believe I had said in our preseason preview that I thought they would grab the New Year's Eve Bowl, and I still stand by that.
I would say with Air Force losing makes it more likely, just because they stumbled against the Wyoming team. So I agree with you. Not the playoff, that they can't get high enough, but if they go to the Cotton Bowl, I may seriously contemplate going to that game. Because that would be fun if it's a Cotton Bowl. So here's where it gets interesting. We got Air Force, yes. Boise, yes. San Diego State, yes. Are those the only three locks you would have in the conference?
As far as locks? Yeah, I mean, because I think we've talked at length about how those are the three best teams in the conference. It's these up-and-comers or these kind of hangers-on that...
That's a better word, yes.
Yeah, like the, you know, the more flawed teams in the conference that are still hanging around right around 500 or a little bit better than that. You know, the surprises of the conference like Hawaii and Wyoming.
Should we say Wyoming's a lock because they're 4-2 at the moment, or do they have to earn it before we can give them that distinction?
I mean, I think that they're good enough to beat both of the Nevada teams, even if they have to go on the road to face both of them. You know, they may face a little bit of resistance going up against some of the teams in the Mountain Division. Like, I don't think they're going to beat Boise, and I don't think they're going to beat San Diego State at home.
Maybe Utah State.
They get both at home. Yeah, Utah State's a beatable team. You know, Nevada, UNLV are both beatable teams. I think New Mexico is a beatable team as well.
But they're all road games, so.
If you're asking them basically to go 2-2. Against everybody that's not Boise or San Diego State, I think that's definitely possible.
I think it's possible. Going on the road, it's interesting for them just because they're not the great... Like, the road to Eastern Michigan lost in Nebraska, so... Well, I guess you can excuse Nebraska.
They did beat Colorado State pretty convincingly.
They did beat them pretty convincingly. So I think I go yes for Bolin, so we can start. Is it, so it's now official. Bolin puns are back.
Yes.
Then let's go to the rest of the division here really quick. Colorado State, we need to mention Nick Hill, or excuse me, Colin Hill. It is official. Torn ACL, we kind of feared and alluded to in our recap. He's out for the year. However, Mike Bobo says he could be back by spring, which is pretty optimistic in my opinion. That's only, what, 6 months?
Yeah.
So he probably won't be live at all, but maybe able to just do some skelly drills or 7-on-7 or something. But I assume, I haven't read anything. I assume it's going to be Nick Stevens as the quarterback. So I don't know, man. They looked second half. They did hold off to get the victory. I don't know if they're going to go to a bowl game, man. They play Boise next week. Then they go to UNLV. I guess they've UNLV, Fresno, and New Mexico. I think all three of those are winnable games, and those are the three they have to win, sitting at 3-3 right now.
And that is what I was going to say if you didn't. You know, I think they get a really favorable draw, all things considered, you know, with their, you know, interdivision conference matchups against, you know, UNLV and Fresno especially. You know, wrapping up the year in San Diego probably isn't the greatest matchup for them. So I think a lot of it is going to come down to whether they can pull an upset in Colorado Springs against Air Force, or whether they can, you know, take care of business at home against New Mexico. Yeah, I think they'll probably have to win either one of those games to really secure a bowl spot.
Can I hold off on judgment until I see a full game with whomever their quarterback is? Or do I need to get say now for a hard line?
Are they bowling or are they not bowling?
I'm leaning toward not bowling, unfortunately.
Well, I was higher on Nick Stevens in Colorado State going in than you were.
Well, I at least felt the quarterback competition was hogwash, but apparently head coach Mike Bobo knows more than I do.
I still like Nick Stevens. I think if you give him time to sort things out, especially since, you know, the next 3 weeks, Boise aside, are pretty favorable. I think they're good enough to at least get to 6-6. So I'm going to say, yes, they go bowling.
I will say this. I don't think they go bowling, but it wouldn't surprise me if they do. Is that enough to, on the fence or not for you? Is that a good enough answer for you?
Rams fans may call you out on it, but I won't.
You know, I know who my favorite Twitter account is who follows us all the time. Isn't it what Mike Fleck? Is that the guy who always puts bias, led bias hashtags or something every time? I need to see if I can find him. Maybe I'll scroll through. But at first I'm like, who is this weirdo? Because I have muted a lot of Colorado State fans because some are just, how should I put it, full of themselves about going to the Big 12 and stuff. I'll see if I can find him later, but he is hilarious. After I realize he's just screwing around. Yeah, Mike Flick. So his name is Flickerbock, B-O-C-K. Always hashtagged Ram hate, Len bias, favoritism, whatever bias. And he always replies. He gives no context, but just gives a random reply. Hilarious. So I give him a follow to help him out, but he's always funny on at least replying to us about stuff. Yeah, it looks like, I guess this is official here from Rams football. Coach Bobo on Nick Stevens, he's been living and preparing the right way in terms of his approach. That's why guys have confidence in him. Starting QB. Let me look at QB. Just get one more time. Let me give one more quick look here. Because I think they could beat UNLV if their defense played like the second half. They can go bowling. I'm saying it. They're going bowling. They're going 6-6. That's, I'm changing. Fair. Go Rams. Let's just have the good Rams defense show up for me. All right, bowling. If they go bowling. Who do we got next here? New Mexico. Ooh, sitting at 2-3. I could beat Nevada. home, but they would heavy schedule at the rest of the way at USU, at CSU.
Yeah, and I think pulling that road upset is going to be really crucial. You know, if you look back at their games so far, I think losing that New Mexico State game, the real grand rivalry, is really going to come back to hurt them. Yep, it is. Because personally, I don't like their chances of getting that upset. Oh, the defense hasn't really taken the step forward that I thought that they might. And, you know, they do have some soft opponents in the future. But, you know, if you're looking to pull an upset on the road, especially against, you know, a team like Utah State or Colorado State late in the year, I think they're probably going to have to win one or both of those games to get there, and I'm just not.
You don't
really
think they could beat Louisiana Monroe at home at Hawaii and hosting Nevada? They can't get that sweep.
Well, I think we both know that Hawaii plays a lot tougher on at home than they do on the road, and you know, going back to last weekend, nobody saw it. But they did beat
actually.
San Jose State,
if you check out Time Warner Oceanic's Twitter account, there were actually highlights there. So. That's what we need to check out to see how good Drew Brown is.
But yeah, I think overall my stock on New Mexico is down.
So I'm there with you. Also with Tarian Gibson in and out, but the defense is what's killing me, man. They're like we said, if they were just average, they could probably win the division. We were thinking or maybe that's overstating, but being more competitive like they were last year, very close to winning. But with the defense is just terrible. So I'm going to say no, and they'll finish 5-5-7, and yeah, sorry Lobo, sorry Ron. All right, so the big team, which is 0-3 in conference, 2-4 overall, Utah State Aggies. Who knows when Devontae Mays is coming back? Because well, we don't. Matt Wells doesn't tell us anything. I don't. I'm gonna say no. They're sitting at 2-4 right now. Like yeah, 2-4. Here's their schedule the rest of the way. They host Fresno, which I think they should win. They host San Diego State. I don't think they can win. They go to Wyoming, toss up. I think they'll beat New Mexico at home. That's puts them at four wins right there. Or, yeah, 4 wins if because I'm calling New Mexico and Fresno wins for them. That's 4. Then they have at Wyoming, at Nevada, at BYU. Yeah, man. I'm going no.
Yeah, I'm going no on that one too because I don't see where they're going. I don't see where they're going to get another 4 wins out of this slate. I think they'll probably beat Fresno. I think that they could beat, you know, New Mexico and Nevada, but I'm not
maybe
sold
Wyoming
on them beating anybody
maybe
else at this point.
But
maybe, but
it's a road game. We don't know what time of day it is because it's November. If it's night, could be some weather. I want a weather game this year. That's my goal. That's my what I'd love to have the rest of the year. I want some sort of weather game.
You say that.
Did you watch any of North Carolina State, Notre Dame? That was not really a football game. I don't want it like that, but I want some sort of snow. It's like, I don't need the blizzard game or what was the NFL game where the Patriots or who was that? Maybe it's the Patriots or Jets. The guy running who's supposed to clear the lines. Like if it's bad snow, they bring out the snow plow or something, clear off the 10, 20, 30. Some guy goes out there and clears off the field goal spot. I don't want it like that where it's that snowy, but give me some flurries. It doesn't have to stick, but I want something. That would just be fun. As long as I'm not at the game, so is that fair enough to say? No, sorry, Aggies, no bowling for me. We need to hurry this along. We're taking too long. I'm bowling or not bowling, which should be rapid fire. Next division, Hawaii. You're, at this moment, West Division leading Hawaii Warriors. We have to that way. Also sit.
Yes. And they play 13. They play 13.
Yeah.
They have to get to 7. Ooh,
you do you?
I think they will. And I think they're going to do it by beating opponents at home because they get UNLV this coming week. And then 2 weeks from now, they get New Mexico on the island. And then, to wrap up the year, they get UMass. And so I think that they can win all 3 of those games. And then from that point, it really comes down to pulling an upset on the road. And guess who comes to the valley? Guess who comes to the valley?
Hawaii Warriors.
Yeah. It's
Man. Are we buying into the Drew Brown hype already? You need a team that gives them positive.
You know what? I'm all in.
This, I think they'll get to 6. Because, again, at home, like I said, UNLV, UNM. Screw it. 7-6, Hawaii Warriors. Bowling.
Yes. All right. So.
Before we do that, let's note people. I'm gonna do it proper here. We're going to take a little break here so I don't have to jam it in here, and hopefully it sounds okay. Next team. Hopefully that was a non-political ad, which it should not be, so let's move on with that. So next is San Diego State bowling. Yeah. Okay, Nevada's a tough team. We got 4 teams left here really quick. Actually, no. Fresno State not bowling and San Jose State not bowling. Is that good enough to say?
That is correct.
they just kind of push them aside to Spartans and Bulldogs. Yeah. Okay. So Nevada and UNLV.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they'll probably win this weekend in San Jose. I think the Spartans have really fallen off a lot more than I expected they would. I'm just not sure where the other wins are coming from.
All the easy games are road games. At UNLV, at New Mexico.
That's true, yeah.
How awesome would it be, real quick, hold on, if it's fight for the Fremont Cannon and bowl eligibility for both teams?
I don't think that's going to happen. I think, if anything, UNLV is going to ruin Brian Polian's Nevada career.
No, I'm just saying, like, I mean, that game will come down to that, I mean.
Yeah.
They're both sitting at 5-6.
I mean, I think that there are games the Wolfpack can win, but I'm not overly confident that they will win any of them, if that makes sense.
No, I agree with you. Like, when they played Buffalo, they crushed them, played well. They're terrible versus Hawaii. Their first half was good versus Fresno. I felt they should have ran away at that game. And then the first little bit versus Cal Poly. But again, look at those teams. They're not very good teams that they won or should have won against. Or no, all three of those were the wins, but I don't trust them. That's my thing. I don't trust Nevada.
Yeah, I'm going to say no.
All right, no, and then UNLV really quick. Are they going to get into the slide into the 6-win spot?
I thought that they might going into the year, but I think the injuries are going to catch up with them, and I think they'll be competitive, but I don't.
I think same with them as New Mexico. Their bad loss to Idaho really did them in.
Yeah. That's
because if they're sitting at 3-3, I think, because I know we said Hawaii would beat them, but that's a winnable game. Colorado State with a new quarterback, winnable game. And then Nevada and San Jose State. So I'm going to say they'll come up short, but they've just been up and down as well. Like, the Fresno, they played well, then they played bad versus Central Michigan and San Diego State. So our offense was non-existent. So that was a quick bowling or not really quick. So let's go to really quick coach of the year. Here's the candidates I put on here. I guess you added some as well and other people. Craig Bull, Troy Calhoun, Brian Harsin, Nick Rolovich. Is that a good assessment?
That is a great assessment, yeah. I mean, I think the easy selection would be Brian Harsin, just because, you know, it takes, you know, a lot of talent and it takes a good coach to be undefeated at number 15 in the country.
Wait, let me ask you this. Are you going by what they've done right now or what they could do?
Well, coach of the year so far, I think, is what we're doing, right? But I'm going to give it to Craig Bull, because, like, no disrespect to Boise. Boise has been playing great, but Wyoming has really improved by leaps and bounds over where I thought they would be. I thought they would take maybe another year for them to jump back into the mix for, you know, the Mountain Division title, but they've kind of surprised. And, you know, a lot of that, give credit to Brian Hill for being Brian Hill. But they found a quarterback who's been pretty good more often than not. You know, the defense has taken a significant step forward. And, you know, neither of us thought they would go bowling. And they're well on their way to 6 wins at least. And so that's a huge credit, I think, to Bull and what he's building up there in Laramie.
It has to come down to, yeah, Craig Bull or Nick Rolovich. Because, yes, Troy Calhoun, great. He could finish 12-1 and win the conference. At this point, they lost a game I didn't think they should have lost to Wyoming.
Yeah, that's...
And there's that. And then Nick Rolovich in Hawaii, well, they are, they've won 2 in a row. Their last 2 wins, who was it? San Jose State and Nevada. Not the best teams there, but I got to go, same with you. Not that we need to go, like, copycat, but Craig Bull, surprised by quite a bit. Even because they should have beat Eastern Michigan.
Yeah,
that's.
I would agree.
I know they're a good team, but you have 2 defensive touchdowns. What were you, +2 in the turnover margin? You should have won that game. You missed a chip shot field goal that was blocked. You should be sitting at 5-1 and possibly even ranked if you're 5-1.
I wouldn't go that far, but...
I said possibly.
I understand your point.
If your only loss is Nebraska, and Nebraska, you beat a pretty good Air Force team?
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. So, bowling it is.
So then do you also think that Wyoming's season to date is the surprise of the year? Oh. Or do you think it's one of our other options that we've talked about, you know, And, you know, to let our listeners know, this is surprise of the year, meaning good surprise, bad surprise, and on either an individual
anything.
Or team level. So the things that we came up with are Wyoming's season overall, San Diego State's loss to South Alabama.
I'm sorry, guys. We had to.
We had to, and we apologize. Drew Brown and Hawaii's 2-0 start in conference play, or, regrettably, Fresno State blowing a 31-point lead against Tulsa.
Can I add one more that will also be included under best dressed?
Yes.
Hawaii not pulling out their rainbow uniforms yet.
Maybe they're saving it for a special occasion. Like when they clinch a bowl berth.
What's special than playing in Sydney?
I don't know.
Going for that seventh win versus UMass?
So is that, maybe. Is that your choice?
No, it's not my choice. It's just something I just think. I put these in there last night. I got to say, Hawaii 2-0 in conference play so far.
I definitely did not see that coming.
You did not? Ooh.
I did not see that coming. I don't think anybody saw that. Well, if you saw that coming.
No. Oh, no, I thought you meant my choice. Sorry, my choice is that.
No. I meant the 2-0 start.
Oh, gotcha. Oh, that's not a... You thought I was picking something else. Okay, I got you. No, I go with that because I thought they might win like two games all year.
Yeah, so did I. I think I had them at 2-11 this year.
I think I had them beating UT Martin, maybe three, like UT Martin and UMass, maybe Monroe because they're all at home. But that's my surprise of the year. If I were to rank these, I would go, because they're good and bad, I'd go Hawaii, number one. Number two, San Diego State. Number three, Wyoming. Number four, Fresno State. If I'm going like kind of my ranking of those,
I would probably switch San Diego State and Hawaii, just because, you know, we talked ad nauseum for like almost a year. They can't lose that game. They can't lose that game. And going into it, you know, if you go back and listen to our podcast, neither of us thought that they would lose that game.
Yeah, I thought Pumphrey go for 200 yards and three touchdowns again, or some combination of that, one or the other.
And they lost that game. And that legitimately shocked me.
Yeah, that's a big one. I still got to go to Hawaii because if I were to put a bet on, would Hawaii go? Well, maybe. No. I would have put, I don't know. I was going to say, if I were to put money on Hawaii 2-0 or San Diego State losing to South Alabama, I probably would have bet the house on San Diego State. So technically, that probably should be my surprise. But Hawaii's just been so terrible. And Rolovich made the change at the right time. And I doubt he's going back to KK Woosley.
I bet they'd be fun to watch.
Yeah, exactly. That, you hear that, Time Warner? We'd want to watch those games. Again, people using VPNs, come on. Even though I use it for Netflix UK sometimes. So, all right, Coach of the Year. Oh, no, sorry. We already did that. Will Coach get fired at the end of the year? Let's answer that first. Do you think a coach will be fired on January 1st? Will there be a new coach in the conference that is because they are let go?
Yes.
Who will that be?
I think...
Well, hold on. Here's our choices first.
Okay.
It's obvious. Tim Drutter, Fresno State. Mm-hmm. Ron Carriger, San Jose State. And Brian Polian of Nevada.
Honestly, I think of those three, the guy who came into the season with the highest expectations is Brian Polian. And I think if they don't get to a bowl this year, then he's probably gone.
Is it
what
year? Is it his fifth year?
I believe so, yes.
So it's probably his fifth year. It's his final year of his contract that he signed. Even if it's fourth year, the next year the buyout's usually nothing. It's actually year four for him, so he has a 21-23 record overall. He does have back to back winning seasons. And so I think if you go by expectations, yes. But if you go by who really should not be the head coach, it should be Tim Drutter. He should be gone. He should have been gone possibly. You could have made a good argument last year for him to see his way out.
Yeah, but the more I've thought about it, the more I think my intuition now is that Tim Drutter's not going anywhere until the end of next year.
So you have to deal with this again?
Yeah, because I think that, you know, the program has invested too much money into making this particular configuration work, and they really don't have the financial wherewithal to get out from under it.
Telling you, I mean, Ryan Matthews, where are you at? Come on.
Where have you gone?
Derek Carr, David Carr. You got money?
I mean, as far as Carragher goes, I mean, I can understand why a lot of San Jose State fans would be disappointed. But I think that, you know, that's a team in transition as well. And I think, you know, even though they're going to lose Kenny Potter next year, right?
Yeah. I believe so. I'll check real quick, but yeah, pretty sure.
I still think that they have a lot of young, interesting talent that's going to take a little bit of time to develop. And, you know, it may not always be pretty, but I think they could be pretty good, you know, as soon as next year if things fall their way. So I would urge San Jose State fans to be a little more patient with Carragher.
Looking at their schedule, it wouldn't surprise me if they win only two games. Two games total. And maybe beat Fresno State as their only win rests away. And that's not a guarantee because neither of them. I'm just saying, yeah, Potter is a senior, just for the record. So if they're 2-10, okay, or couldn't you say see ya?
I mean, I think they could probably afford it more than Fresno could afford it. But, I mean, if I were making that decision, I would probably exercise a little patience. Okay.
All right, so who are you, so officially you're going with Brian Pullian? I know Tim DeRuiter should be gone, but your points are valid and accurate. I guess I'm still going to say Tim DeRuiter's going to be not there January 1st. And also, can we both say no a million times to Jeff Tedford at some point or any point? Yes.
1,000 times.
I get the idea and allure, but he's been hanging out in the CFL the past couple years, hasn't he?
No, he's been up in
Miami. He's an offensive consultant, I think, for Mike Leach, right? Something like that, maybe?
Chris Peterson.
But I know he was in the CFL for some point.
But in conclusion, say no to Tedford.
All right, so MVP, here's what we have. Looks like we've added a couple here. A few people did. Craig Bull, Wyoming head coach. Donald Pumphrey, mm-hmm. San Diego State. Jeremy McNichols, Boise State. Thomas Sparbeck, Boise State wide receiver. And then Marcus Epps, Wyoming cornerback. I believe Epps is there because he has two pick sixes. Is that correct?
He has one, but he has three interceptions on the year, which is tied for the Cowboys team lead and their conference best 10 interceptions.
And they have, I think, 4 defensive touchdowns as well. You go first this time. What do you think?
I actually added both of those names just because I wanted to make cases for both of those. Like, Epps has been a very good, you know, sophomore defensive back for the Cowboys, and I think he's worth paying attention to, you know, as down the stretch because he's been a real difference maker for them. I wanted to add Spurback too, just because, you know, no surprise, he's having another great year. Like, he's somehow averaging over 19 yards a catch, but he's also has a catch rate of 67%, which is really good, all things considered. And so I wanted to give nods to both of those guys, but honestly, I think it's got to be Pumphrey, doesn't it?
Say that again.
It's got to be Danelle Pumphrey,
not Craig Bull.
I mean, yes, but I think of it as the most valuable player. If it were MVC, then it's probably Bull. But I mean, you know, as far as long scrimmage plays goes, you know, Donnell Pumphrey has 6 more plays rushing and receiving of more than 10 yards, which is 6 more than Spurback, who's second in the conference. And he's, you know, he's been basically a dynamic playmaker. He's the best in the Mountain West in 20-yard plays. He's the best in 30-yard plays, which isn't something you would really expect to see in a running back. And, you know, we know that he makes a difference as a receiver as well. He's kind of the do-it-all back for the Aztecs, and he's basically the reason they're probably going to steamroll their way back to the conference.
You're right, and it's Pumphrey. It's not even close. We're just trying to make some arguments. He leads the nation in yards per game by over 30 yards at 178, and he also leads the country in rushing yards despite playing one less game than, like, say, Jamal Williams, Dalvin Cook, James Butler, Nevada, who's number 8th, Brian Hill. He has 890, or sorry, let me refresh that page here. Hold on. Sorry. He still leads the lead in the nation in yards per game and total yards. Jamal Williams, who played one more game than him, has fewer yards. Same with Dalvin Cook, Aaron Jones of UTEP, And you got the guys like Butler, Brian Hill. Also got D'Angelo Brewer of Tulsa. One fewer games. He's crushing even to 9 touchdowns. Yards per just probably more accurate assessment of a good running back. This is kind of skewed here. He's at 6.9, top 35. But there's guys who have, like, on CFB stats, they go if you have 20-plus carries, you're considered. So when you look at that area, like Quandre Henderson has over 11 yards on 31 carries, or Adrian Killens at UCF. It's Pumphrey's not even close, right? He's also number 14 all-time NCAA rushing at the moment.
I think McNichols will give him a run for his money down the stretch for, like, offensive player of the year, but I think if it came down to it, Pumphrey's going to have a larger influence on San Diego State's success
Because
McNichols will on Boise's.
That makes sense, because if McNichols is shut down, look at the New Mexico game, perfect example. Not that McNichols was shut down, but they didn't need him, and they just threw at will. So if Pumphrey goes down or plays poorly, then, they're not doing well. All right, let's move along. We're getting a bit long here for what we wanted to do. Play of the year. I don't remember all these plays. So maybe you can help me out. Do we not have Fresno State's catch from last week on here? That's the first catch. Sorry. I'm terrible. Jameer Jordan is basically on top of his crown of his helmet making a catch. I do remember that one. I do remember Dalton Snead, TD run versus Fresno. Was it 91 yards? Is that correct?
If you want to count all the yards that he spent running around in the end zone, it was well over 100. But box score
should have been a safety. Yes. Should have been a lot of things, right?
You're just surprised.
I'm surprised there was no holding or block in the back to give him the safety or call it back after how long it took for him to get going. All right, then I do remember three of the four plays here. Josh Allen's game winner, run triple up. Excuse me. You want to take that one for me? I can't speak tonight.
You may recall Josh Allen's early morning / late night triple overtime game-winning run against Northern Illinois. And then we have Tui Unga's catch versus Nevada, which nobody saw because we can't watch Nevada because we can't watch Hawaii.
So does that one not count then?
Well, I'm just saying I can't really speak to it because I can't watch Hawaii football, sadly.
So I assume you did not add that, right?
I did not add that. No.
I'm wondering if Keith or what's his? Oh shit! We have like three new Hawaii guys. One of our new Hawaii guys put it in there. I gotta go, Josh Allen. Right, Josh Allen. That was a pretty impressive play.
Respectfully, I disagree. Because anytime a quarterback runs 91 yards for a touchdown, that's got to be the play of the year.
You're right. I'm just trying to see. I was trying to figure out what I could do. You're right.
I don't care how bad the defense is. 91 yards from a quarterback is impressive. If it were a running back, you know, big kind of deal. You know, but yeah.
Okay, I got to go with you. Don't see that. I like Josh Allen. He does a lot of those plays. So we'll see that if you look at Colorado State, Eastern Michigan, a lot of plays where he goes with his feet. All right, best dressed. Am I correct on saying there is no winner?
You were not correct because Air Force is the clear winner.
Oh, you're right.
Alternate uniforms that they wore against Georgia State.
Shark teeth unis?
It is, in my opinion, the benchmark for alternative uniforms.
Is it even better than the Navy one they wore last year? It was kind of like the reflective of all the battleships?
Yes.
Ooh. So if we did see...
Here's a controversial opinion. It is better than Hawaii's rainbow jerseys.
I was about to say that. I was going to ask you that. You think it is?
I think it is.
Oh, man. Good thing Chris isn't here. He would probably try to punch you through the phone line here. You're correct. I this is one of the ones I didn't have filled in until right before we started. So I'm like, all right, I'm going with that. You are correct. There's no way around it. I like Boise State's all white. I do like the New Mexico, kind of the old script they put on there for the UNM. But it has to be Air Force. I'll say second place is that Hawaii didn't wear it. I don't know why, but whatever. Let's move on. Let's go quick. So newcomer of the year. We have a couple here, a lot of defenders here. And here's my criteria for newcomer: junior college transfer, true freshman, or redshirt freshman.
Okay.
And so here's who I went with. Tell me if you agree on all the, if they should be on the list. Colin Hill of Colorado State.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Rashad Lewis, Utah State wide receiver.
Yes.
Drew Brown, Hawaii quarterback.
Yes.
JUCO sophomore. Charles Williams, UNLV running back.
Yes.
Zamore Ziegler, San Jose running back. And then I have Gabriel Sewell, Nevada linebacker. Logan Wilson, Wyoming linebacker. Excuse me, linebacker.
I think those are all deserving, yes.
There could be more, but that's what you got, folks.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's pretty thin as far as freshmen this year.
You think so?
A little bit.
When's the last time a freshman's come in and done that well?
Devontae Adams. Brett Rippon.
Oh, you're right. I guess Brian Hill, when he got to play Kent Myers, going 4-0. As a four string quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I mean, if Colin Hill hadn't gotten hurt, I think he'd be, a very strong candidate. I think he.
Whoa, but this is up until now. Up until now, so.
Yeah, and I think in limited playing time, he did acquit himself pretty well. But to me, I got to give it to the guy who's been basically in the starting lineup all year long. Mm-hmm. I got to give it to Logan Wilson.
What?
Yeah. Oh,
you're going. I thought you were going somewhere else.
False.
You think it's Logan Wilson? Well, I mean, linebacker who has, doesn't have an interception or fumble recovery, a couple tackles for loss. See, what I should have done, folks, I should have put stats next to the name, which I did not. Yeah. So why do you, what, Logan Wilson? He's Logan Wilson. He started all year. What else do you have?
Well, I mean, I believe he's the top freshman in the conference as far as total tackles so far. He has 35 in the 6 games that Wyoming's played so far.
That's correct.
And I'm trying to look up some of his other stats on the fly, but basically, he's been part of that revitalized Wyoming front seven. He has a couple of tackles for loss. He has, he did have a critical sack last week against Air Force.
That's right. Interception for a touchdown, one of those.
Yeah. And so, he's been kind of a dynamic playmaker in a lot of different respects. And, he's one of the really underrated reasons that Wyoming's gotten off to as good a start as they have. Fight me on it.
Dude, I'm going Rashad Lewis, man.
Okay.
He is.
That's fair.
Dude, Utah State has the most. If you've ever been to Logan, Utah, they have the most diverse names for wide receivers. Rashad Lewis. For those who don't know, it's Ray Lewis's kid. They also have Ron Quavian Tarver. And that is not from Key and Pill, one of their players they made up, which would fit it perfectly, right? Raquan Tarver. Ron Quavion Tarver. Jeez. Here's why I go on Rashad Lewis. He, besides leading the freshman class in yards per game, he's number 11 in the conference, which is good for what? Top 15? Top 10. He only has one touchdown. I just think his last couple of games, he stepped up pretty big. The first game or two, he's been starting all year long. But the past couple of games, his past two games, he's had 14 total receptions and nearly 200 yards in two games. He's also with 16 yards. But I just think, maybe because I go offensive, maybe that's what it is I'm thinking of. But I think what he does, if he had another touchdown, I'll probably say for sure, but he's becoming he's Utah State's number one wide receiver. It's close.
Yeah. I mean, I think going forward, I'd like to see whether or not he can improve his catch rate, because right now it's only at 56%, which, among, Utah State's three or four top targets, it's, Tarver's at 63% and Wyatt Houston, the tight end, is at 67%. So if he can bring up his efficiency a little bit, I'll give him a little more credit. But, of course, as a freshman, he might be just kind of learning on the job more often than not. But and that's why I'm not going to argue the pick too much, because he has had a pretty good campaign.
Yeah, I just think he's coming to that point where he's gotten there, where coming into the Boise game and CSU game, like I said, he had 12 catches. He doubled that in two games. And so I think he's fine. He's coming to a point where he made big key catches in the Rams, even though they lost in the first half, key plays. But we're just going to split this one, because I like Logan Wilson as well, because the main thing we said about Wyoming last year, their defense was terrible. and it wasn't very good. And besides Andrew Wingard, they're giving up a lot of plays, a lot of bad plays, a lot of points. So those are some good picks. There's some decent freshmen, but too bad Hill's hurt, or he might be on the list later on. But we're going to split it. I don't care. We split other stuff. That's fine. Come after us.
Yes, we do.
So anything else we need to add? Because we've gone long, about 10 minutes longer than we thought we would have.
Now we can go ahead and wrap it up here. We got another recording.
Yeah, we do. We do have another show. So, yeah, that's our midseason show. Anything we missed, definitely let us know in the comments, because we know people love to do that. Leave us some reviews of SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, all that fun stuff. We appreciate everybody who listens. And, yeah, check us out, mwcconnection.com. And even though this is a preview praising stuff, we're still biased against your team, folks. Until next time.